War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! Ah, good guy! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Oh, meet the Mets. Greet the Mets. Come on out and greet the Mets. Protect your kitties. Protect your wife. The man in the next row stabbed somebody with a knife because our mayor's giving tickets away just to get them to make their court dates. East side, west side. They're even committing homicide to come and greet the New York Mets of New York Town. Oh, the killer and the rapist are all out on the street. Where do they go? To meet the Mets. Oh, the robbers and the thieves are all in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets. Rikers Island is closing down. So come on down and watch them cheer their team. The New York Mets are giving criminals tickets for free thanks to our Mayor de Blasio of New York Town.
Frank, that was a beautiful song to start off the night. I'll tell you that much. De Blasio is literally on a whole nother level of stupid, to say the least.
He's also giving them cell phones, gift cards, and what's next? He's going to give them television sets. You know, I'm sitting in court all day, criminal court, by the way, and mind you, and people get bench warrants all the time, and they want giveaways. Someone came in today yelling and screaming at the sheriff officer, causing disruptions.
I mean, sitting in the court for as long as you have, Frank, do you think that tickets to a Mets game would incentivize these people to show up to their court dates?
No, they don't give a fuck anyway. There's no penalty anyway. Our jails are so full. It's turned into that Nirvana song. Come when you want. It don't matter at all. Can't you see? That's it, me. It don't matter at all. I mean, these people, the court appearance will be 9 o'clock. And we have one judge in the courthouse that 9 o'clock, if you're there at 9:05, he would throw you in jail. But most of the other judges in the situations at the county jail the sheriff officers have to fill out like paperwork all day, so they have to like spend 4 hours filling out paperwork to arrest somebody. So they don't want to do it, and nobody wants to do it. So they've disincentivized actually arresting people and holding people accountable.
Well, I mean, De Blasio, since he took over in 2013 as mayor, New York sports have been a complete and utter shit show, and now he's gonna start injuring people in the stands at Mets games with his bonehead decision.
I mean, that is so ridiculous. You're literally making people, incentivizing people to commit crime.
Yeah, literally. You see what KFC was saying, right? That we're going to have someone who's like old and sickly, terminally ill, take one for the team with one of these convicts. Like, that would just be... Yeah, the number one taking one for the team to get the Wilpons out of office with the Mets. Speaking of the Mets, there's been a lot of talk about whether they're going to go over the luxury tax or not this year. And their payroll's at $174 million right now, and their luxury tax is $208 this offseason. And with all the needs they have to fill, there's no chance that they can stay under it this year. And, you know, the Wilpons, they don't want to pay 20% out of every dollar.
Well, they're going to have to get used to it. They'll get the insurance money back when Jonas Cespedes doesn't play next year.
They're going to have a lot. They do have a lot of money coming off the books in 2021. So they just kind of need to suck it up this year. And, like, the Yankees, like Brian Cashman said, he doesn't care about the luxury tax. Like, they're clearly going to go over it. Like, they don't give a shit. The Mets, the problem is with the Mets and the Wilpons, their number one priority is not building a championship contender. It's all the other little things financially and whatnot and how they're going to look in the press and the headlines and everything that they worry about over building an actual contender.
Wilpons, meet the Wilpons, the cheapest owners in MLB. They will rob Peter to save Paul, and they won't care at all as they scrape and save now and dive in the dumpster, get all the crappy players.
Let's look at some of the needs that they need this offseason. So obviously we start with bullpen, which, you know, completely sunk their season this year, missing the playoffs by 3 games because of how abysmal they were in the bullpen. I think they need at least 3 relief pitcher arms, like above average pitchers.
Yep.
And I
do think they should give Diaz a second chance. I think if anyone could turn him around, I think Beltran could help turn him around.
Diaz should absolutely get another chance, but you can't go in counting on him to be, you know, one of your back end guys. You need 3 above that.
Consequently, if we can, I will get rid of Familia.
But how so? I mean, who's going to take on, you know, the 2 years, $20 million left on his contract?
There's definitely relievers out there that they could get.
Here's what
get them for cheap.
Oh no, there's a ton of good relievers from Will Harris to Joe Smith to Dylan Betances, Steve Cishek, Will Smith had a really good year. Daniel Hudson from the Nationals and the Mets actually. So they've already been reported. They're doing the GM meetings right now, and it was reported Mets have shown some interest in Dylan Betances and Daniel Hudson so far.
I would not touch Dylan Betances with a 10-foot pole.
Even if the price is right coming off the injury?
I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
My issue is, I think he would be a great addition to any team's bullpen, but the problem is he's going to come over to the Mets and, you know, his injuries are going to continue because it's the Mets.
That's exactly why I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Avery, what do you think? Do you think that the Yankees are going to wind up bringing back Dylan, or do you think he's going to go elsewhere?
Well, the injury thing's obviously a problem, but he clearly, when he's locked in, he's one of the best closers in the MLB. So there's obviously value there. Honestly, at this point, it's the money.
He goes through stretches where he just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and then he'll be giving up massive home runs.
Yeah, and then he goes through stretches where he's a top closer in the MLB. So it happens, you know. I mean, pitchers are streaky. It happens almost every other year.
This is the type of guy the Mets sign and turns into a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I think that could be the case, but there is also a potential. When you look at it, I mean, there's so many past Cy Young winners who end up having bad seasons at the end. I'm not saying he's a Cy Young winner, he's a closer, but I'm just trying to make relevance to the fact that pitching isn't very consistent. But has that ability to be a top closer in the MLB. So I think it's worth taking a flyer on him, but I don't think it's going to be any type of flyer. I think he's going to want a lot of money.
So the thing is now there are a lot of good relievers available. And if I were the Mets, one guy I would look at would be Drew Pomeranz. I know he struggled a lot, you know, with the Red Sox. He was a bust, you know, when they tried to put him in their rotation, but the Brewers picked him up in their bullpen, and he had 45 strikeouts and 26 innings for them down the stretch. He was really dominant, a nice left-handed arm out of the bullpen, you know, could give you multiple innings, especially if Zach Wheeler, who just turned down his qualifying offer from the Mets, if he departs, Brody Van Wagenen had mentioned that they could possibly be moving Robert Gazelman or Seth Lugo back into the rotation.
There we go, robbing Peter to save Paul.
Yeah, seriously. But the thing is, I want them to go out and get a starter, and you know, I already have said it that they should extend Wheeler. I would give him the 6 years, $90 million that he's projected to make. But if they let him go, they could move Lugo into the rotation because, you know, Lugo can't pitch on back-to-back nights, and it's clear that he's, you know, he's better suited for the starting rotation. and as dominant as he was out of the bullpen this year. But if you're going to move him to the rotation, then that's when you go out and get three relievers. And that's I would start with Will Smith from the San Francisco Giants. He was the lefty of the All-Star this year out of their pen. He's projected to make about 3 years, $30 million. And I would also get the Nationals closer, Daniel Hudson. And then probably finish it off, like I would look at Drew Pomeranz, Steve Cishek, someone like that, maybe a Will Harris. You know, just get three reliable arms out of that pen. You know, make it hard for a Robert Gonzalez to make it out of spring training in the bullpen. Like, you know, you can't count on these guys to be, you know, reliable options because they're not. You know, that's what separates a contender and a pretender. And the Mets, you know, last year with their offseason, they thought they were making all these splashes. And really, they were pretenders because they half-assed it. This year, they cannot half-ass it.
They got to stop half-assing it. They've been half-assing it way too long.
They talk about center field. Yes, they do need to upgrade center field, defensively at least. But then, you know, they desperately need another bat, despite, you know, all the bats who developed in the lineup this year, the young bats. They need insurance for those bats. They need to bring in a big bat. I'm not saying they're going to bring in Rendon as much as we would have liked them to, but a guy like Josh Donaldson, Mike Moustakas would shore up their lineup, you know, and provide that insurance and depth that they need.
I got a small center fielder, not someone you want starting, but a good fourth outfield for the Mets to get.
Gerard Dyson?
Well, I don't know if he's available or not.
He's a free agent, but he's 35. But he would be a solid fourth outfielder.
Someone along the line to Gerard Dyson.
Who'd you have in mind?
Cameron Maben.
Is he a bet? He's a free agent.
Yes.
You think the Yankees will let him go?
Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to be looking elsewhere. The Yankees are kind of arrogant. They're bringing back Brett Gardner until he's 96.
So the thing with the Yankees, they've already talked to Gardner and his agent. They're most likely bringing him back another year. Hicks is going to miss most of the year with the Tommy John. They have Judge. They have Stanton. Clint Frazier. Yeah.
And Talkman. Don't forget about Talkman.
They do have Talkman. The Yankees could use an upgrade in the outfield too, though.
The Yankees need upgrades elsewhere. They've already lost Didi. Can't believe they let Didi go.
Well, the thing is, they've been talking with him too about possibly bringing him back. I believe that they don't really want to sign him to this huge deal given his age and the injury last year. Avery, what do you think about?
I think the Yankees have too many squares. They need a round part somewhere.
Avery, what do you think that the Yankees' biggest needs are this offseason?
Oh, I think it's definitely pitching.
You know the best thing that could happen to the Yankees?
What?
Is to liquor up the Dodgers general manager or maybe the Cardinals general manager. And get them to take Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, the thing is, now you mentioned the Cardinals, Frank. Marcell Ozuna, I'm pretty sure, is available. That could be an interesting option for the Yankees in center field.
I'd rather see him on another team, but...
I was going to say, Yankees or Mets. You know, he would be a solid addition.
He'd be perfect for the Mets. He'd actually be a perfect fit for the Mets, which means there's no chance that the Mets will get him.
Yeah, and Brody, the thing is, because the Mets don't listen to their fans, but the thing is, Brody's talking about getting creative, and they said they're already talking to multiple. Yeah, I don't like that, first of all, because it means he's gonna trade top prospects again, trade the whole farm that, you know, that's he's left the cupboard bare with. But the thing is, they're like, yeah, we're talking to some agents of free agent relievers, and we've also been talking some trade talks for relievers. That's scary.
I think they've done. I think Dom Smith had a good enough year, where his trade value is good enough that they could get something good for him.
Well, they might trade. They might trade J.D. Davis.
Also. That I don't want.
Yeah, I agree with you. They 5 years of control with him, so I would not trade him. But
yeah, and I wouldn't really want to trade Dom Smith if they announced tomorrow that in 2021 the designated hitter is coming to the National League. I would be less likely to trade him.
The thing with Dom Smith and J.D. Davis, they don't really have positions. Davis has more of a position than Dom does. And Davis, if you hold on to Davis, it provides depth. They can trade Dom for a reliever if they can get one for him, you know, a solid reliever for him. That's what they should do. keep exactly. JD Davis and sign in another bat. And if it, and
it's,
if
not,
it
pushes it's not that Davis, I really want to trade Dom Smith, but he's kind of locked now.
Yeah, you could say that there's no room for him and Davis if they sign another bat, whether it be in center field or at third base. But the thing is, you keep Davis. You know, he'll hit against, he'll play against lefties. He's tremendous against lefties, and that's what provides you depth if someone gets injured. You know, you can't. You know, you can afford to get rid of Dom, in that sense. And if it upgrades your bullpen, then it, you know, it definitely helps.
But yep.
Now, and also what pisses me off too is Brody mentioned that Jed Lowry. He keeps mentioning Jed Lowry at third base.
What is it? Are they secret lovers or something? I mean, does Jed Lowry know some dark secrets about Brody? I mean, Jed Lowry had what, 2 at bats last year? He was injured. He's still injured. He's still hurting.
They're still trying to diagnose his injuries. That's what they said the other day. They still don't know what was wrong with him this year.
Jed Lowry's a corpse. They're going to weaken the birdies out of him on the field next year.
I'd honestly rather have Jacoby Ellsbury than Jed Lowry.
I could actually see them two playing in the field somewhere. Playing catch.
In the Field of Dreams? Kevin Costner and Ray Liotta?
Yep.
That's funny. The last thing also that we, you know, it's kind of forgettable given all the, you know, all this news with Beltran, and now we're focused on the roster, but the Mets need to fill their pitching coach vacancy. And one guy they interviewed was, of course, former Met pitcher Jeremy Hefner. What do you think about that one?
Doesn't exactly ring my bell.
Well, he was assistant pitching coach with the Twins, and you know, they got some good years out of like Jake Odorizzi this year, and Michael Pineda, and Berrios. So, you know, it's an intriguing option. A lot of people I know, a lot of people I write with at Metsmerize, like, love Jeremy Hefner. I think he'd be like an ace, well, you know, an ace hire, but
we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I want Phil Regan back, but Frank, you said it to me last week. You're right. Like, you know, he's 82 years old, so, you know, you can't really expect him to be the pitching coach again. I'm sure they're going to keep him around as, like, pitching coordinator. But
yeah. Reagan's a good guy, but the problem is he's 80. That's you're asking the 80-year-old man to travel with a team for 7 months.
Yeah, no, it's tough. He did it for he took over in the end of June, and he did it the final 3+ months of the season. So
I mean, that's a lot to ask of a 80-year-old, someone who's 80 years old.
Someone who should live in the senior citizen retirement section of Tom's River, if you know what I'm talking about.
Speaking of Tom's River, happy Thanksgiving to Todd Frazier, former, obviously going to be a former Met, because Mets will not sign him back. He'll likely go to the Oakland A's, one of those guys the Oakland A's sign that comes cheap with a 1-year contract. That's typical of what the Oakland A's do. But happy Thanksgiving to Todd Frazier. I see that he's decorating his house for Thanksgiving. He's got a whole bunch of turkeys in his yard. Oh, wait a second. Those are wild turkeys, and they're scaring his children.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know. I've seen a little bit about that, and they've been talking about it on the Boomer and Geo show. About they asked if Al Dukes could beat up one of those wild turkeys.
I had a wild turkey sleeping on my car a couple years ago in Belleville.
And what'd you do?
I let him sleep in my car, and then when I started the next morning, he jumped off.
Those things are pretty nasty, though, aren't they?
It wasn't that big. I first saw these turkeys after Sandy. They're running around the a parking lot of a supermarket.
Frank, be honest. Did you think about killing it and seeing what live turkey tasted like?
Yeah, actually, yes, I did.
That would have been something. You would have had like the animal rights people at your front door.
The only problem is I just don't know how to take care of cleaning a turkey.
Yeah, that would be a challenge. You would definitely need to bring in a professional. You'd have to bring in Ralph to for assistance.
Oh, Ralph.
How's he holding up from the your Dolphins putting an ass whooping on the Colts?
Well, he hasn't been out of his apartment for 2 days. He's stayed home from work as he usually does for a couple of days after the Colts have a bad loss. And I was walking up my stairs and I noticed that his window's been smashed.
Oh.
Wow. He wants Adam Vinatieri gone. He doesn't understand why they're so loyal to him.
Frank, not even, like, speaking of your own performance, your team actually won a game. They're on a winning streak now, when 3 weeks ago that looked like it would be impossible. And you ate a fucking styrofoam football because your team won.
Okay, that was a trick. I played a trick on everyone.
What was it?
It was a chocolate football.
Really?
It was a football. It's made by the same people. You know the Easter chocolate Easter bunnies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Have you, like, had that, like, has that been, like, in the vault since Easter? Or, like, did you just buy that? Like, where did that come from?
I was shopping at ShopRite on Saturday, and I saw that they had the footballs, like, half price at a closeout. So I grabbed one, thinking it would be a fun prank to pull, because it looks so much like a real football.
Wow, and that was premeditated, Frank. That is a pretty good prank. Frank the prank.
Well, yeah, without that football, I actually shot another video later where I continued eating the football.
Yeah.
And I showed, and I actually showed a box it came in.
So do people know? Like, I feel like that's not a known public fact.
Some people
know.
I've said it on the internet a couple times, and if you see that video, you'll see that it was a chocolate cover, hollow chocolate football.
I honestly, like, it looked like it was one of those squishy styrofoam footballs. And I was just like, there was no way you swallowed it because the video ended. The clip that was cut actually ended before you. I saw you, like, you were chewing repeatedly. But
it was a chocolate covered football.
You need to reveal that to everybody after we get off this tonight.
The video's on Twitter. The reveal video.
Really? How did I miss that one?
I responded in the same thread. I'll see if I can find it and send it to you.
Yeah, we gotta go back and roll the tape, Frank. That's deviant by you. But
I mean, I wasn't happy the Dolphins won because the friggin' now we're gonna get Jake Fromm, and Jake Fromm's gonna suck.
Now, who was Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, and he's the NFL draft analyst now, and he was on with Mike Francesa on Friday. He was saying how Jake Fromm, you know, might be a end of the first round, you know, early second round guy now. He's projected to have fallen out of the second round.
Who are the Dolphins going to be the quarterback? Are they going to try Josh Rosen next year and have in a tank for Trevor?
No shot. I think that, you know, there's Burrow's going to go first. Tua will probably go second, and Herbert will go third.
And when I see Justin Herbert, I just have too many flashbacks to Joey Harrington.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really like Herbert that much either. And, like, I think, like, the Oregon's having a really good year. I think the scouts love him this year, what they've seen. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's a pretty good athlete. Maybe he'll be good. Like, I think that he's slightly – like, he reminds me of, like, a Daniel Jones, but, like, he's not as good as Daniel Jones, if that makes sense.
Daniel Jones, Mr. Fumbles. Fumbles McGee.
He is Fumbles McGee, and it's a really big concern. And the thing that annoys me is, like, Mike Shula and everyone on the Giants staff talks about it every week, how – Jones, they got to work on Jones keeping two hands on the ball in the pocket, and he still does not do it. He has one hand on every time, and his pocket awareness is not very good, and, you know, that's concerning. But, I mean, besides the fumbles, he's looked really, really good running the football. Or throwing the football, I should say, and running the football, of course, too. But he's a pro passer. He looks like he's got a future in this league. He just needs to fix
the has a good arm. I don't know if it's the offensive line that's the problem with the Giants or the fact that he's just got to settle down.
It's really the offensive line and it's Pat Shurmur's offense. But Daniel Jones, he's the only quarterback, or he's the eighth quarterback in history since 1940 to throw four touchdowns in two games and lose both of them. And he's the only rookie to do so.
I think it's time they got to pull the trigger and get a new coach.
Everyone's freaking out saying that now's not the time because it's going to screw up his development because he's going to be changing offenses. And I really don't think that that's true. And I think if they bring in Mike McCarthy, look at what Mike McCarthy did with Aaron Rodgers in his career. I think that McCarthy and Jones would be a perfect fit together.
The coaching doesn't work there. He's not a New York coach. That's what the problem is.
He's not a head coach. He's an offensive coordinator, but he's definitely not a head coach. Look at now the thing too positive about Jones, he's actually tied for fifth most touchdown passes in the league, and he hasn't played, he didn't start the first two games. 15 touchdown passes in, which is fifth best in the league, tied with MVP candidate Lamar Jackson.
There's a guy I completely got wrong. I never thought that Lamar Jackson would be good.
Everybody got it wrong for him.
Now, here's the thing with Lamar Jackson. You know, he's going to be basically a flash in the pan.
Well, as soon as he starts getting hurt, it'll be the beginning of the end. And they're screwed. Their offense is literally centered around him. They're screwed once he gets hurt. He runs like a running back.
It's one of those things. He's going to be, and we see it with Cam Newton now. He'll be Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam. I mean, and Cam was literally a power running back. Lamar's a big kid, but he's a lot quicker than Cam, obviously. But he's very.
And he's got a better arm than I thought. Than he thought he did. I look at someone Deshaun Watson as a similar type of quarterback, but Deshaun Watson's got a bullet of an arm.
He does, and he's leading the league with he has a 73% completion percentage.
He's able to just put it right into the tiniest spots in the field.
He's in the MVP discussion this year too. He's having a way better year passing than Lamar. Lamar's not.
And Lamar, what's funny is those when those two when Jackson won the Heisman, I did not think he deserved the Heisman. I thought that was Watson's award.
Yeah, I mean, because Watson won the national title, but, I mean, Jackson was amazing that year. He had that big breakout game where they Louisville rolled over Florida State. And you know who Kodak Black is, Frank?
No.
Well, he's this famous rapper, and he's in and out of jail a lot, but he's from the same area in Florida as Lamar Jackson. I guess they knew each other, you know, growing up. And, Kodak was in one of his jail stints at the time of Lamar's breakout game, and he runs up. Lamar runs for his third touchdown of the game, and he runs up to the camera in the end zone. He goes, "Free Kodak!" And that's actually the first game ever I've seen of Lamar Jackson when he burst onto the scene that game, introduced himself to the nation as the playmaker that he is.
But Dolphins still need a quarterback. They still do. Need to build around something. This was my fear with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll accidentally win 5 to 6 games.
Yeah,
then you're stuck in the same situation that they've been in forever. NFL hell.
NFL purgatory, like the Jets.
The Jets just suck.
The Jets pick in the top three every year.
Yeah, that's not NFL purgatory. That's NFL totally clueless.
The Jets had the number three pick this year. They had $100 million in cap space to spend in free agency, and they're still 2-7.
Well, they hired the wrong coach. That's why.
Yeah, because their owner is a blithering idiot. But I mean, Frank,
the owner needs to just go away. You know, The Johnsons don't know anything about football. They should just collect the money.
No, and the thing is, Woody did a much better job than Chris did. And Woody handed everything over to Chris for whatever reason. What? Where is Woody Johnson? Why does he not do anything with the team anymore, it seems like?
Well, Woody is only temporarily away.
Where is he?
He is the ambassador of England.
Since when?
Since Donald Trump became president.
Oh, wow. So
Trump
when
Trump appointed him ambassador to England.
And look how bad the Jets have been since. The Jets were coming off a 10-6 season when Trump got elected.
Yeah, so Robert Wood Johnson, Woody Johnson, is the ambassador to England. This happened with the Steelers. The Steelers lost Dan Rooney for like 6 years. He served as ambassador to Ireland.
And what under what president and what era was that?
Obama.
And what? Did that start at the beginning of Obama's term?
Yeah.
Steelers won a Super Bowl in 2008, though.
Yeah, and Dan Rooney's Dan, but the Rooney family owns him. I mean, Dan Rooney's actually passed on now, and his son, who took over the team when he was in Ireland, is now the full blown owner.
Yeah, you see it. The Giants did that with Wellington Mara, of course, passed away in 2005, and then John Mara took over, you know, full operation, and he's helped run this team into the ground.
And that family, and you know, the Maras and the Rooneys are related by marriage.
Yeah, what do you know the exact relation? Like who's married to who?
One of Wellington Mara's sons is married to one of Dan Rooney's daughters.
Ah, interesting. I did know that, but because
Dan Rooney's sister or something like that, Art Rooney's daughter, and because they have two daughters who are actresses.
Huh. Yeah, and you know, obviously,
ever seen the girl in the dragon tattoo?
No, but that's his daughter.
Yeah, that's Rooney Mara. And that's her name is Rooney Mara, and there's another one. I forgot what the her name is. She was in the awful Fantastic Four movie.
The second one with the Silver Surfer?
No. The one that bombed.
That one bombed.
No, I'm talking about the one that really bombed. The one that came out in 2015? The one that was so bad that nobody watched it?
Yeah, clearly, because I have no idea. I've never even seen that movie.
They made a remake of Fantastic Four in 2015. That was a total disaster. People call it the worst movie, worst superhero movie that ever made.
Uh-huh.
And the Rooney Mara sister played the Invisible Girl.
You know, clearly everyone liked it a lot better when Jessica Alba was Invisible Girl.
Yeah, she took Jessica Alba's place.
Well, clearly it wasn't me as good then, right off the bat. But speaking of movies, did you see that the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming out on Valentine's Day? Mm. Did you watch the trailer for that with Jim Carrey playing?
I have not seen the trailer yet, but I've seen a still picture of Sonic. It looks like they've done some quite upgrades from the first trailer.
Yeah, the first design of how he was supposed to look was a joke. The second one, they completely got it right.
That could have just been like them toying around with it. So, you know, it wasn't completely done when they wanted to do the trailer. That was probably a mistake then. They should have probably took more time out. But they did. It definitely looks like Sonic now.
Yep, and Jim Carrey's playing Dr. Robotnik, and he looks like he was really funny in the trailer. You got to watch it. It was actually very entertaining. Looks like a good movie. I told my girlfriend, I was like, oh, it's coming out Valentine's Day. I was like, I already know what we're doing.
Well, I actually, just a couple hours ago, watched The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
The ending, blow you away, it will.
So how do you have to pay for the Disney Plus app?
Yeah.
How much was it?
I bought the yearly, so it was $69.
Wow, okay. And was it worth it for The Mandalorian?
Well, let me put it this way. You don't just get The Mandalorian. Basically, Solo's not up yet, and a couple other Star Wars movies aren't up yet. Like, The Last Jedi's not up yet on here, but yeah, they'll be up shortly. Most of the Marvel movies are up and will eventually all be up on there. All the Disney movies are on there. All the Disney cartoons of the past are on there.
That's pretty cool.
So and they have all 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
That's also very cool. So what'd you think about the Solo movie? Because I honestly
thought, I actually liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't think that it was their best movie.
I liked it. I liked the access to seeing how Han got the Millennium Falcon, and how Han met Chewbacca, and the whole story of the running to make Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Well, what about how Han got his name?
I thought that was kind of slick. You know what part I like? When he's watching the recruitment video, the commercial for sort of like the commercial. This is finally they're showing like commercials of TV in the Star Wars world. I mean, they've never showed TV in the Star Wars world on any of that movie. So he's at this station. He goes, and it's like our typical Army recruitment video commercial. Be all you can be, and the music they're playing is the actual Imperial March. I thought that was one of the slickest scenes.
Yeah, I mean that stuff was pretty cool, I guess. My favorite part of the movie was when Darth Maul shows up in the end, because I didn't know that they brought him back in the Clone Wars.
Rebels.
They brought him back. No. Well, no. For whoever watched the Clone Wars series, I heard that they had brought him back to life.
Rebels.
The Rebels brought him back?
The Clone Wars didn't bring him back. Clone Wars was happening too short after. I don't think he was in Clone Wars. I think his first appearance was in Rebels.
And how'd they bring him back? Do you remember?
I've never actually watched Rebels. I'm actually finally gonna catch that now.
Well, I didn't ask you. What do you think? Well, I was away actually the week that the trailer came out. But what do you think of the new Star Wars movie? What did you think of that trailer with Palpatine?
It's gonna be interesting to see what it's like. See how Palpatine fills into this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think he's definitely back?
I don't know. We'll have to see. He's the smartest man in the universe, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I hope he is. That'd be pretty cool. I'm really excited about that movie. Speaking of exciting things, Frank, you got a big birthday coming up.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yes, I do.
How old are you gonna be?
44.
And that's, you know, you're one off from a milestone, but still, 44 years, that's a very, very long life. That's 21 years more than I've been on this earth. So that's pretty impressive, Frank.
Yep.
Do you feel older?
I've felt older for a long time now.
When did you start feeling old? At what age?
35.
35, okay. And you were 35 in 2010.
Yes.
You know, 2010, I graduated 8th grade. So, that's funny. That's time flies. 2010, also the last time the Jets have made the playoffs. So tell us a little bit about your birthday plans. I know that you're going to the Devils game tomorrow night.
I'm thinking about, I'm going to go stop by the office too for a couple hours.
Oh, that's great. Are you taking off of work tomorrow? Or
yeah. I can't go to be at the courthouse on my birthday. Fuck that.
Do you take off every year on your birthday?
Pretty much.
That's awesome, and that's like something that they accommodate to.
Yeah, I'm given 20 vacation days a year and 3 personal days.
That's great.
And so, anything I don't use carries over.
So basically, Frank Fleming's birthday is a national holiday.
Yeah, plus I also get 20 sick days, which also carry over.
That's great.
So and considering the judge took off on her birthday. So
there you go. Yeah. That's awesome. So you're going to go in the office. You have anything else? Are you going to film any hot dog reviews tomorrow?
I don't know about that. I dropped a big one today.
That you did, Frank. You visited McSorley's Ale House in Manhattan. Of course, I've been there. A lot of people been there. JFK.
And Abraham I have Lincoln. My first celebrity cameo on the hot dog review.
In the McSorley's one?
Yep.
Who was it? I watched it. I didn't see any cameo.
Blinking, you miss it. It's after I give the hot dog review, and they like scan the audience of the people who are watching.
Yep.
One of the people was Fred Savage.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Did you talk to him afterwards?
I didn't even know he was there until after he left.
Wow, imagine
he was basically scouting something for he's going to be shooting there soon.
Oh, wow. Imagine if you got him in your review.
Yep.
That would have been legendary.
And then the guy who, the Michael Quinn, who was like the guy I was talking to on the video, actually did a screen freeze and got and found him.
That's really funny, Frank. Imagine, like, sometimes you don't even know it. Like, these people are, like, right under your nose, and you don't even recognize them. They blend in.
Yep.
Oh, well, I'm glad you get to enjoy your birthday tomorrow. It sounds like you got a busy day coming up.
Yep.
What would you say your favorite birthday ever was? Do you have one?
I'm trying to think. Trying to think of some memorable birthdays. Well, I got Stratomatic because of Lenny Dykstra in 1986.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, Lenny Dykstra, after he hit that home run in the NLCS, said that that's the biggest home run he's got since he played Stratomatic.
What was Stratomatic?
Stratomatic was a game where you take baseball player stats. And they'd be on these like little cards. And it'd be their actual stats. And based on how good a player they were, you roll the dice and it'll determine if you got a home run, strikeout, ground out, whatever. And you set the lineup against the pitcher. The pitcher would throw a pitch. And then you had to like determine what it was going to be, what type of the pitcher against the pitcher. And it'll be like a chart of all the different possible outcomes with the dice.
When did that game come out?
Oh, that's decent. If you notice, Keith Nance talks about it sometimes, that he played it growing up.
That's funny. Frank, I forgot to ask, did you watch the Monday night game at all last night? The 49ers
yes.
Seahawks?
Yes, I did.
How great of a finish was that?
Oh, that was a terrific finish, especially that the Dolphins got to pop their champagne again.
Why is that?
Every time the last team that's undefeated loses, did 72 Dolphins celebrate?
Ah, that's right. So that's funny then, because they must have been sweating it out in 2007 when the Patriots went all the way to the Super Bowl 18-0. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they actually did. They actually did a commercial.
What was it?
It was a commercial. I forgot which company did the commercial. Might have been like FedEx.
Uh-huh.
And they did two different versions of the commercial. They had one commercial, and it was like, find out what happens at the Super Bowl. And they were all like had barbecuing in their yard. How's your day going? It's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. And then a truck pulls up. So when the Super Bowl was over, the truck pulled over. It was a giant, giant delivery company. And it was like a message from the Giants. Enjoy it one more year. Population, and they had they left the at the end of the commercial, they had this sort of sign, population Perfectville, population one.
That's
and it. Then they had an alternate version. If the Patriots are the one, would have been Patriot Moving Company. The Patriots are moving in next door.
Uh-huh. That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I still can't. We're 11 years later, and I still can't believe the outcome of that game. But I mean, last night was really incredible. The fact that, you know, I didn't think the Seahawks took the lead. You know, they had the 3-point lead late in the game, and Jimmy G was shitting himself on the last drive. He almost threw a couple game-ending interceptions, and you know, then he, you know, he buckled down, calmed down a bit to you know, get the Niners in field goal range. They had their you know, practice squad kicker Chase McLaughlin come out, and he kicked a really clutch I believe it was like a 47-yard field goal to tie the game. And then they went into overtime, and you know, it looked like the Seahawks were about to, you know, just drive down the field and score a touchdown. And Russell Wilson is hitting that guy, that other practice squad tight end, that guy Hollister, who had a great game last night, you know, hitting him left and right. And he tries to float one to him in the end zone when they're down, you know, the Seahawks were down inside the 10, and tries to float one to him. And the Niners defense, which is tremendous, by the way, covered it perfectly, perfect cover two zone coverage. And the guy covering over the top.
Yeah, the final score of the game was 27-24, but I think like half the points were all set up by defensive plays.
Well, that game also, it was very close to being a tie.
Yeah, it was.
Both defenses played really well. The 49ers defense is tremendous, and a lot of it's filled with guys who you've never even heard of. Like the guy who had that big interception on Russell Wilson, Greenlaw, never heard of him.
How about the how about that offensive lineman that like tried to that actually took the ball away from Russell Wilson and then fumble?
I tweeted about that too. I was like, what is he doing? He caught Russell Wilson's fumble in the backfield, and instead of just falling down to the ground, the 300-plus-pound 6'7" offensive lineman tries to run with the ball and fumbles it again for a touchdown.
I mean, he looked like he was I think he had like the dreams of going coast to coast with the ball.
Yeah, that was just like a big man moment where, like, you know, you get the ball and you're like, it's my time to shine. And I'm sure Pete Carroll had a lot of words, and the offensive line coach clearly had a lot of words for him after that. So,
from what I understand, Pete Carroll doesn't do much disciplining. He leaves that to his assistants.
Yeah, the line coach definitely had some not very nice words to say to him after that. But, yeah, I mean, it was an amazing game. Jimmy G, too, started out 14-20 last night for 140 yards. Keep in mind, George Kittle was out last night with a leg injury, but Emmanuel Sanders got injured. Once Emmanuel Sanders got injured, Jimmy G went 10-26 for 108 yards after that and really struggled to find a rhythm. And he almost blew the game on multiple occasions, throwing the ball around and, you know, being nervous, you know, in clutch situations. So Wikipedia actually had to shut down his page last night because people were vandalizing it. It said that he was like, they kept writing. They wrote he was his description for his position: clowny's bitch, overrated, like choke artist, like all this stuff.
So Wikipedia. Seattle fans are good at doing that.
Yeah. So Clowney is also amazing too. They're calling his name on every other play, and he's gonna get huge money in free agency despite his injury history.
Yep.
But I mean, he's a great player.
Before and Russell Wilson is still in that line to be MVP.
Oh yeah, he's only thrown two interceptions on the year. That's incredible. But before we move into Ask the Tank and wrap things up because we're running out of time. But of course, Pete Alonso, as we all expected, took home the Rookie of the Year award last night, which we thought all would be unanimous with his 53 home runs that led the league. But one
day, I knew some jerk was going to vote against him.
They always do, and it's not a big deal. Like, someone always does it just to be like a troll. And
did you know what I loved last year? The one guy that voted against DeGrom.
Yeah,
he came on as a guest with Steve Summers.
Yeah, and what happened?
Did you ever hear the Steve Summers thing?
No.
Oh, the call lasted about 5 minutes, like about 2 minutes, and Steve Summers basically like tore into him, and then the guy hung up.
He hung up.
Yes.
What did this guy? Wasn't this guy like a writer in like Washington or something?
San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah, of course, of course. They can't handle it in New York.
And basically, Steve Summers says, "So you know, Steve Summers' voice.
Oh yeah.
So what was wrong with you? Why did you make that vote? Are you trying to make a name for yourself? Because clearly, your mind is not in the right place. Are you just jealous of New York? out there having to cover boring San Diego sports.
Did he actually say that?
It was Steve Sommers just being utterly ridiculous. The guy he deserved to be hung up upon.
That's crazy.
I gotta find the clip. It's ridiculous what Steve Sommers did to this guy.
But that's Frank. That's totally right. He's totally right, though. I mean, the people who there's always someone who does those votes.
But what's great is that Steve Sommers actually did it to the guy's face.
Oh yeah,
the sports pope ripping somebody, and when the guy comes out of here, you're just a good announcer, kissing the guy's ass.
And he breathes in every interview. He breathes in the mic at every question. That's my favorite noise.
The more he breathes, the more he doesn't want to be doing that interview.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I mean, unless their name's Pat Shermer, he's soft on them. He kisses Aaron Boone's ass every week about the Yankees during the season. So let's, Frank, before we run out of time, let's roll into Ask the Tank. We only got three questions this week, but Peter from @SmokeMeatPete66 says, has the Tank ever ate pure accent with a spoon?
No, I haven't done that.
I'm confused by that question. What is accent?
Accent. Ah, yes. It's a flavor seasoning. If you ever watch my Tank's cook, I use it on everything. Now, you know what accent really is?
What?
It's pure MSG.
Madison Square Garden?
No, Model Sodium Glutamate.
And what does that taste like?
It's a salt type of thing.
We do know, everyone knows how you love your salt, Frank, so that makes sense. But
I had a cheap blend of steak. And I just covered my steak in the accent and garlic salt and let the sit for a half hour to draw the juices to the surface.
Frank, now I knew you cooked the steak because I saw the video. I saw the tweet you tagged me in, but I haven't watched the video yet. What'd you cook it on? Did you cook it on a frying pan or
electric grill?
The Foreman grill?
No, electric grill.
Electric grill.
Yes.
How long does it take to cook a steak on that?
I cook it medium rare, so it took about 10 minutes.
That's pretty good. That's not bad. That was my next question. I was going to ask you how you like your steak. I'm also a medium rare guy. Have you seen the famous jail scene where they're cooking dinner in Goodfellas, right? And he really knew, one of the guys, he's like, he really knew how to cook a steak. He did everything by frying pan. He goes, Paulie, how do you like your steak? He goes, medium rare. He goes, medium rare. He goes, an aristocrat. That's a good one. And I love, Paulie, he used to love to slice the garlic razor thin. He had a whole system and it would liquefy the pan. He goes, Vinny, don't use too many onions in the sauce. I'm not
using the guards used to go nuts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The skinny one starting to be a real pain in the ass. And he goes, don't use too many onions in the sauce. I'm not using too many onions. I used three small onions. Tree onions. That's way too much. That's something I can relate to, too. My grandma used to make her own sauce, and I would hate when she put too many onions in it. I hated onions. Still kind of hate onions, but really, they kind of soil. Like, even like a good soup, a good sauce. Onions can kind of, if they're not cut small enough or there's too many, it kind of ruins it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It provides flavor, but it's like, who wants to like eat like a spoonful of something, have it like there be onions
in it? I mean, I could take onion rings every now and then, but I really don't like onions that much.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with you there. The next question in Ask the Tank is your buddy, and I have a follow-up question for this after you from myself, Abe Miranda. He wants to know, he says, ask Frank what we're having for dinner on Thanksgiving.
Turkey.
And what else?
Mashed potatoes, stuffing, candied yams, cream-style corn.
And are you cooking this meal?
Yes.
And are you hosting it at your place?
Yes.
And who are you going to have there?
Well, Abe's actually coming over with his wife, and my uncle's coming over.
Ah, that's great.
It's going to be very tight in here.
You invite Ralph?
Nah, he usually goes over to his in-laws or something like that.
Oh, Ralph's married?
No, he's like his brother and his brother's wife, who actually lives in the next apartment.
Ah, okay. Damn, so you got the whole family in your building.
Yeah.
So, is Abe your cousin?
Godbrother.
Godbrother.
Yeah, my father's his godfather.
Okay, so you should, like, you grew up together and you're really close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Well,
you saw the picture, right?
That's why I ask. He's been posting all these old pictures of you.
Yep. By the way, that one picture, it's actually from that. There's one picture that they actually posted from 1986.
Yeah, that's the one with you as a kid in the gym shorts. And yeah. The one kid's wearing tube socks.
Yeah.
And he was saying, Abe said that you guys were Stranger Things.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, those pictures are pretty incredible. I hope that he continues to post more. The last question is kind of stupid, but it's from a funny named account called Willits Point / Shea Stadium. They asked, do you shower daily, Frank?
I shower about 6 times a week.
6 times? So basically, yes, daily. I'd say that's the healthy amount. Yes, it would be 6 times. All right. Well, Frank, this has been a lovely birthday episode for you. Of course, there's 57 minutes until you are 44. So enjoy your last hour or so as a 43-year-old. And I hope when the clock strikes midnight, you don't feel any older. But, yeah, I mean, take it away. So give us a song.
Oh, boy, I tell you. You know, I don't know what song to go out closing with, but I'll just close with the classic. Oh, that incredible team in the white and the green. They go up, the up, up. They go down, the down, down. That incredible team in the white and the green. They can't do anything right. They always go along.
War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War!